Ground. Those of you on Zoom, good morning. Thank you for joining us. Listen again, I know we've been in our Psalm series the last couple of weeks. Today we're going to switch it up a little bit, get ready for Thanksgiving, which is coming up this Thursday from the pastors at Level Ground. I want to say happy Thanksgiving. You guys know, you can go back to the last one, Pastor Dwayne. We're up to Psalm 84 as of last week. Pastor Dwayne told us, life is better in the presence of who? Y'all remember? In the presence of God, in the presence of the Lord. That's when life is best. And next week, we're going to jump back into our series in Psalms. But today, we're going to move forward. And I want to talk to you about this subject. Yet will I rejoice. You look at this word, rejoice. And as we come up to the Thanksgiving holiday, you know, Thanksgiving and rejoicing are tied in. If you go throughout the Bible, you find where one is mentioned, usually the other is mentioned either before or right after it, or the connotation is that they're included with one another. And think about this, a joyful heart really is a thankful heart. That if we're joyful for what God has done for us, if we're finding joy in the little things in life, we're going to thank God for what he's done in our lives. And a good scripture to go to as we start out, going to be Philippians chapter 4. If you have a Bible in front of you, or those of you on Zoom, you can just look at the screen. This is the Apostle Paul writing from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. He says this, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Make sure y'all are paying attention. Rejoice in the Lord when? Always. Paul said it. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And look at verse 7, the promise we get, and the peace. How many of y'all need peace today? Is it just me that everything that's going on in the world and everything going on around us, we need the peace of God that passes or transcends all understanding. That peace will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that you will speak to us today. God, as we talk about rejoicing and being thankful for what you've done in our lives, God, forgive us for times where we don't express gratitude for the many blessings you've given to us. As we talk about these different individuals in the Bible, God, help us to see ourselves in the Word. And God, help us to use that to minister to others throughout this week and in the future as well. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say it. Amen and amen. So Paul said, rejoice in the Lord when? Always. He said it again. He tells them to rejoice. And I think all of us, if we'll be honest with ourselves, we want our lives to be an example to others of what it means to rejoice. When we step into the workplace, whenever we step around our family members, whenever we step into the community, wherever we find ourselves as we're with family this coming holiday season, and as we move forward coming out of this pandemic into the year 2023, may all of our lives be shining example of what it means to rejoice, listen, and to be thankful. Because I don't know about you, but God's been good to me. That it's sometimes people look for the really big things to be thankful for. But whenever you think about maybe where you've been last year or a couple of years ago or even a decade ago and you see where you are today, it should be a reason for you to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done to me. And as we look at our scriptures today, we're going to talk about three individuals. I want to talk about three individuals who are good examples of giving thanks. And I want to give you four concluding points that I want you to take with you into the holiday season. But listen, whenever you're thinking about someone in the Bible who was very good at giving thanks and always expressed thanks in his life, it was David. The psalmist David in this first scripture in First Chronicles, it says this, David said, wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things, and in your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. One example of David giving thanks to God. But you have to understand that whenever you think about David, you think about the Psalms and you think about the many times where, listen, even whenever he messed up, He thanked God for restoring him and giving him the joy of his salvation. So thanksgiving was like inherent in David. In his prayers, he gave thanks. And that's why it's so important for us to utilize this aspect of prayer, because as we talk to God and as we listen back what God is going to say to us, we have the opportunity to express thanks to God for all that he's done for us. So David, in the Bible, all in the Psalms and all throughout the Chronicles and in the Kings, you'll find different aspects of David actually giving thanks to God for all that he had done. Because you look at the life of David, and out of all of the kings in Israel, David's the only one who never suffered defeat in a battle. Think about that. That as the king, that as he went against the enemies of God, and as he went out and tried to fight for Israel and fight for God's people, he never lost a battle. And no other king can say that. They all suffered defeat. And David was quick to tell God, thank you for what you've done in my life, because David knew this, he couldn't win the battle on his own. So those battles that we may be trying to fight on our own, whether it's a skirmish with a coworker, or maybe a family member, or maybe it's something going on from way in the past with a friend that we're trying to fight on our own or take care of on our own. This is what we need to do. We need to give God thanks for taking care of it and leave it alone. And too many times we put our hands into something, or we try to fix something instead of just saying, God, I'm going to give this person to you. I'm going to give this situation to you. I'm going to give this relationship to you. I'm going to give my finances to you. And I'm going to thank you for taking care of that situation, because I'm your child and you're going to take care of me. The parents in here, think about this. When your kid needs something, you're going to take care of that thing. Unless it's something that they don't need. Quick, thank you for laughing, Caitlin. Quick story. I was in Walmart the other day, and I was in the, if you know how Walmart is laid out, the fishing aisle is right by the hunting aisle, which unfortunately is right by the toy aisle in this, in this Walmart. But as I was looking at the different things in the fishing and the hunting section, I kept hearing this kid saying, I want this toy. I want this toy. I want this toy. And the parent very nicely said, no, you're not going to get the toy. And the kid proceeded to sprawl out on the floor in Walmart while the parent was talking to him, and the parent kept talking to him and everything. And this is what I said to myself. I said, I thank God that my mom whipped me when I did that. Here we go, Pastor Taylor, getting into the discipline and the spanking and all that other stuff again. But listen, because my mom spanked me, I knew that that wasn't acceptable. And I am where I'm at today because I got a beating. Listen, you may not need to beat your kids. You may not need to spank your kids. Your kids may listen to what you say. I needed a spanking. And I thank God for my mom that initiated corporal punishment on me whenever I would do things like that. Quick story. I thought it was funny and you guys would get a kick out of it as I watched this kid sprawling on the ground. I thank God for my mom. Thanksgiving. Here we go. Who's in heaven now? God bless. My mom is in heaven. But David was one to always give thanks to God for all that he had done in his life. And even when David messed up, he knew that God was going to restore him, and God would actually restore him back where he was. And David was quick to say, thank you, Lord. And so if you're looking for an example of somebody who was always giving thanks, always was practicing thanksgiving, always was mindful to tell God what he had done and to thank God for that, David's your man. Actually said that David was a man after God's own heart, because he always was trying to please God. Even whenever he messed up and God would restore him, David was quick to say, thank you. So as we go into this coming Thursday and as we move forward in life, let's have the mindset of always saying thankful to God. Here we go. I want to ask you guys this question, because I had to ask myself this question as I was getting this sermon together. Am I more guilty of complaining instead of thanking? Am I more guilty of complaining about things that are happening in life and things that I don't have and things that I might want to see happen versus thanking God for what he's given to me and what he's going to do in the future and how he's going to move and get excited for what God's going to do? I said me. I didn't say you guys. if we find ourselves in a constant state of complaining, a constant state of wanting more, a constant state of wanting what somebody else has, coveting, instead of thanking God for what he's given to us, maybe this message is yours today to say, I will rejoice in what God has given to me. I will rejoice in the home that I have, even though it may not be as big as I want it to be. I will rejoice in the apartment I have, even though I'm looking for something else in the future. I will rejoice in the car that I have, even though it's not the car that I want. I will rejoice in the job that I have, even though it stresses me out, because I know that God has great things in the future for me. I thank God for taking care of me. Quick question, or quick something for you to think about. If complaining is a part of your life, notice I said me, let's make sure that we're thanking God for what he's done for us versus complaining. So David's a good example of thanksgiving. That's in the Old Testament. Listen, we go to the New Testament. And if you're looking for somebody in the New Testament who was always giving thanks, the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. He said, give thanks. Here we go again. The first scripture. He said, rejoice always. And now he says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And this is the problem that a lot of people have when it comes to those that follow Christ, is they say, like, how in the world can you follow a God or read a Bible that tells you to give thanks in all circumstances? If it's something bad that's happening, are you still supposed to give God thanks for that? And I always tell him, he's not telling you to give thanks for it. He's telling you to give thanks in it. And in giving thanks in it, this is what you have to ask God. Help me to be content until you bring me out of it. And so Paul says right here, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It means the good circumstances, we're to give thanks. The bad circumstances, we're to give thanks, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. How can he use bad circumstances? And that's his will. It's the bad circumstances that make us stronger so that we can help our brothers and sisters to hopefully pull them out of the bad situation. And so Paul actually says in all circumstances that we should give thanks. That's God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And you stop and you think about it. You said, this man, Apostle Paul, who was shipwrecked, give thanks in all circumstances, almost lost his life on a ship. This Apostle Paul, who was snake bitten. Y'all remember the scenario where they were putting logs in the fire and the Bible says a viper or a serpent jumped out and bit him and he just shook it off into the fire. Give thanks in all circumstances. Or the many people that betrayed him. It talks about Alexander the coppersmith and Demas that deserted him and John Mark that went away from him and how eventually Barnabas went away and he was by himself. And it still says give thanks in all circumstances. Notice I'm still going in all of the things Paul could be complaining about. This Apostle Paul, who they stoned him in one city and threw him out, and he eventually got up and went back into that city to preach again. Quick question. If you all are stoned back in the day in a city, they stoned you and you were dead, would you get up after stoning and brush yourself off and go right back into the same city where they had just stoned? Hopefully we use wisdom and don't go back into that same environment. But Paul did that. And listen, he was going to preach the gospel, even though this bad stuff had happened to him. Paul was thrown in prison and he still gave God thanks. He had a thorn in the flesh. Let me see my Bible reader. He asked God to get rid of this thorn in the flesh just one time. And he asked God to get rid of this thorn in the flesh two times. The Bible said, Paul said, I eagerly besought God three times to take this thorn away. And God said, nope, I'm not going to take it away. Actually, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul said, that since God said that, I will boast in my infirmities. I'll be okay. Because when I'm weak, Paul says, that's when I'm strong. Three times you asked God for this and God didn't answer your prayer. Well, Paul, you must be doing something wrong, because my church taught me that God is a prayer answering God, and he gives you everything that you want. And if you name it and claim it, then you're going to get it. And Paul says, no, this thorn in the flesh, I asked God three times to take it away. And God said, nope, I'm not going to take it. My grace is going to get you through this. And Paul said this, okay, when I'm weak, that's when he's strong. That's when God is strong. Paul actually gave God thanks in all of these circumstances. And when it comes to the end of his life, he was one that gave God thanks. And he said in Philippians that the one who begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. He comes to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he says this, I fought the good fight. I love that scripture. That scripture almost brings me to tears every time I read it. Fought the good fight, finished the race, kept the faith, therefore a crown of righteousness God's going to give to me. And not just to me, Paul said to all those that love his appearing, God is going to give us this crown of righteousness because we lived these lives that glorified him and we constantly gave thanks even through the difficult circumstances of life. Paul was one who was quick to thank God. Think about this. Paul started out as one that was killing Christians and then he became a Christian. He started out as one that was persecuting the church to where he was preaching what the church meant in people's lives. And I'm sure when Paul thought about that, he said, I am the least of the apostles. Y'all remember? He said, I am the least. And God's actually done this in my life, allowed me to write 13, maybe 14 books in the New Testament. Paul was one who gave God thanks. So David was about thanksgiving. The apostle Paul was about thanksgiving. This next one is going to be a little weird. This next person, Habakkuk, gave God thanks. You go to this portion of scripture in Habakkuk 3, 17 to 18, even before I read through this, you got to understand what's going on in the book of Habakkuk. The prophet is talking to God. It starts out and the prophet is talking to God. He's complaining, actually, and God answers. And then you come back and Habakkuk says something and God answers. So it's this conversation that's going on. A bunch of C's here if you're taking notes. There's a conversation going on between Habakkuk and God, but Habakkuk is complaining about what's happening. He's saying, why, God? Why are you letting all of these things happen? Conversation, he's complaining. He's confused because there's a whole bunch of injustice going on. When you go back to chapter 1 in verse 6, it talks about the Babylonians coming in and they're going to ransack the city and they're going to take them captive. And so there's a conversation that's going on and Habakkuk is complaining and he's confused about what's happening and all of this calamity is happening. And then he comes to the conclusion. That's all of your C's if you're writing them down. Conversation, complaining, he's confused, calamity. Here comes the conclusion. Habakkuk says this, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines. Sounds like he's lacking something, right? Though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. Look at verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. So after this complaining, confusing, calamitous situation, this conversation he's having, this conclusion that Habakkuk comes to is, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. And this conclusion that he comes to is this, I'm going to rejoice in spite of what I don't have. I'm going to rejoice in spite of all of this bad stuff that's happening. I'm going to rejoice. And the book is only three chapters. If you read through it, it's a quick read where you see everything that's happening. And Habakkuk saying, in spite of all of my complaining in chapter 1 and chapter 2, in chapter 3, I'm coming to this conclusion, God is worthy of my praise. And I'm going to rejoice in this God of my Savior. I'm going to rejoice in this one that's going to take care of us. And you find that common theme in most of the prophets where they complain about stuff that's going on, but they have a hope for the future. You're going to start to see that in our Psalm series as we're going into sections now where calamity was happening and all of this bad stuff was happening, but then there's hope that's coming about. And then at the end of our series, there's going to be a lot of rejoicing and a lot of psalms that talk about rejoicing because the people of God knew this. Our God is strong enough to take care of us. And in spite of where we find ourselves right now, in the end, everything's going to be okay. And so Habakkuk actually says, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. So you look at David, who was a man of thanksgiving, and Paul, who was a man of thanksgiving, and Habakkuk, this prophet who gave thanks to God and rejoiced in God, even though everything that was going on. And I had to say this, whenever we're looking at our our lesson for today. Yet will I rejoice. How do we rejoice? Or what should we be giving God thanks for? These last 4 points, and then I'm going to let you guys go. Whenever we're thinking about rejoicing and actually giving God praise, this is the first thing that you can thank God for: his goodness. All throughout the Bible, you find this reference to God being good. And in spite of what people say, how could a good God allow this to happen? How could a good God permit this to happen? Where was God whenever this happened? The Bible says to us, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And his love, in other parts, it says his mercy endures forever. When you think about your life and where you are right now, and think about where you could be right now if it was not for the goodness of God. Whenever, you know, none of us want to really put everything out there, what we used to do in the past or what we were involved in or maybe a situation that we had in the past. But because of God's goodness and because of his grace and because of his mercy, we are where we are today. Our God is good in spite of what's happening around us or what other people are saying. God is good. I love that song, Bethel Made, The Goodness of God. And just the words of that song talking about God's goodness and all that he's done, that's one of the main things we need to make sure that we're thanking God for during this holiday season. Thank God for his goodness, but also you have to thank God for, I think that's his faithfulness. It would pop up right whenever I'm going to the next one. Thank God for his faithfulness. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy 2:11-13. Here's a trustworthy saying: if we died with them, we'll also live with them. If we endure, we will also reign with them. And I don't have it here just because it would be. The main point of this scripture says this: listen, if we're faithless, God remains faithful. That times in our life where we don't do what we're supposed to do, or God called us to do something and we fall short of that, or God has put something on our heart or an assignment for us to do, and in our faithlessness, our God still remains faithful to everything that he said he's going to do. Think about this. In the Old Testament, when Abraham failed, God was faithful. And whenever, y'all remember Abraham failing whenever he said that his wife was his sister? Y'all remember that? And then it happened in Isaac as well, because he's following what his dad said. Whenever Noah, after God had given him the covenant, and Noah gets drunk in the tent and everything, and he was faithful, God remained faithful. Whenever David was faithless, or whenever he slept with Bathsheba and killed Uriah, God remained faithful. And whenever the apostles ran away from Jesus and they were faithless, God remains faithful. And in our own lives, the same thing. When we've been faithless and when we've fallen short, our God was still faithful. It's something for us to thank God for each and every day, the faithfulness of God. And number three, I think, thanks, Dwayne, you got back to it. It would mess up whenever I didn't have it in front of me. We thank God for his church. And I was supposed to put his church and this church also tell you why it says this. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Do y'all know that we're supposed to be doing that with one another? That we're supposed to be encouraging each other, that we're supposed to be pushing each other, encouraging one another to do good deeds and to love and to be the best Christians that we should be. That's what we should be doing in each other's lives. And listen, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And some, you know, you can use this scripture for gathering on Sundays or in table group, making sure that we're gathering in this way. But I like to look at this scripture also from this standpoint, that I'm not going to say every day, but at some time throughout the week, there should be somebody you're connecting with from your church. Is that too blunt? Is that too legalistic? Is that too? No, it's not. I answer my own question. Listen, as we're talking about doing life together, as we're talking about being there for one another, and I'm not saying that it has to be something that happens every day of the week, but we meet here on Sundays, we meet in table groups, sometimes in men's gathering or women's gathering or for Crescent City Cafe or Jesus Project, different things like that. When we have the opportunity to meet with one another, when we have the opportunity to come together, listen, this is what happens that the part that I enjoy about meeting with my brothers and sisters in this church is that there's, I don't know what's going on, is that there's encouragement when you meet with one another. Is that there's an encouragement that you can find when you meet and you're going through something and you can get counsel from your brother or your sister whenever there's a difficult thing going on in your life. And maybe you just need that encouraging word. That's what happens whenever we meet together, or a phone call where we can talk about different things, or go out for dinner and just share what's going on in your life so that you could be praying for one another. That's what happens as you're a part of the church. And so, yes, God's universal church is great, but level ground, this church, we're going to keep on pushing and keep on encouraging the members of our church to make sure that we're involved in each other's lives, accountable to one another, being vulnerable with one another. So listen, when Pastor Taylor is going through a hard time, I don't have a problem calling Alessio or calling JT or calling Pastor Dwayne or calling Michael and telling them, this is what I'm going through. I need you guys to pray with me. I need you to help me to get through this situation. That's what we should be doing, because listen, God never meant for me to handle all of everything on my own. God never meant for us to do life by ourselves. God never meant for us to be isolated away from other believers, where it's just you and the enemy putting ideas in your head or attacking you or bringing temptations your way, or maybe there's an addiction or something going on in your life. There's strength if you can connect with a brother or sister and actually share together and encourage one another. Listen, and spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Pastor Taylor, why are you staying on this subject so long? Why are you not going on to the last point? Because I really want to say that God has given us this church, and I really believe that he's allowed us to participate in each other's lives so that we can help one another, so that we don't find ourselves in certain situations. I'm going to shut up now. I went on kind of a tangent talking about it, but I've seen it happen in so many places to where people are isolated, or there are churches who are not involved with meeting outside of the four walls, or going to events together, or something as simple as volunteering at Crescent City Cafe or with Jesus Project, where you're around other believers so that you can share together, so that we can encourage one another, so that we can be the best Christians that we can be. Leave it alone. Let it go. Thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his faithfulness. Thank God for his church. Last one, we're going home. We need to be doing this. Thanking God for, I think it's everything. Ephesians 5:19 through 20 says that speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Again, you think there's a theme in the Bible? Always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So unfortunately, I've been involved in certain churches in the past to where when there were Thanksgiving services or Thanksgiving celebrations where they would talk about a bunch of stuff, a bunch of things that God has given or a bunch of blessings they've gotten through monetary means. But the number one thing we need to be thanking God for right now is that we have a relationship with him. Because I have a relationship with God, then God's going to take care of the things I need in the future. Because I have a relationship with him, those things that other people worry about, jobs in the future or houses in the future or cars or direction and all of that, where they're stressed out about that, my relationship with God tells me this: I'm communicating with him all the time, so he's going to give me direction for where I'm going. And as God gives direction to where I'm going, he's going to provide what I need to get where I'm going. So when it comes to a marriage, God's going to give direction. When the relationship is this way and you guys together are focusing on God together, God's going to provide what you need. How do you know that, Pastor Taylor? Well, God's already opened up PhD doors and God's already opened up direction for what I'm referring to, the Skyrix in the back. So I know people on Zoom can't see this, but God's given direction day by day where you're going to go, because y'all relationship with him is right. And then everything this way is going to be right. Unfortunately, people always try to get the horizontal before they get the vertical. People always try to figure out what the job is, what the house is, what marriage is going to look like if I'm on the horizontal and not going to God and be like, God, what do you want to do in this relationship? God, what do you want to do in this situation? God, how do you want to move in this certain aspect of my life? And I guarantee you, as long as our relationship with God is where it needs to be, our direction horizontally may not be what we want it to be, but is what God wants, and everything's going to work out. As we go into this Thanksgiving celebration on Thursday, thank God for spending time with your family. Thank God for provisions that he's given to us. The number one thing I want us to do is to make sure that we thank God for salvation, that we thank God for what he has done in our lives and his presence in our life. And by doing that, seek first the kingdom of God. And the Bible says everything you need is going to be provided for you. That's the word of God. So thank God for his goodness, for his faithfulness. Thank God for being a part of a church. Also, thank God for everything and in everything as well. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for your word today. God, the Bible gives us the examples of David, the Apostle Paul, and Habakkuk, and so many others that gave you thanks, sometimes in difficult situations. God, let our hearts, the posture of our hearts be that way, that as we go into this week, this Thursday upcoming, that we're thankful for what you have done. God, not just this week, not just Thursday coming, but into the future as well. Let us always remember your goodness and what you have done, what you have provided, God, and what you're going to do in the future. Do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to your power, God. Pray that you will do that in our lives. Thank you for speaking to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say it. Amen and amen.